The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Back, we'll talk more about the Jeremy Pruitt situation. Tennessee getting a little bit of more context on their NCAA problems. We'll talk to Blake Topmeyer coming up here in just a few minutes. Back to the calls we go at 855-242-7285. And Catherine is up next in Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm just wondering why so many of these young men, well, or anybody really, feel the need to have a gun. And young men, they're on campus, they're athletes. But it just seems like anymore, everyone has a gun. I mean, last week we had such a tragic situation here in Orlando where a 19-year-old, like about 11 in the morning, took the life of a mother, 38 years old, okay? He went back to the scene of the crime in the afternoon and shot a reporter and the cameraman. The reporter unfortunately passed away, and it's going to be a long recovery for this cameraman. He also went into a home and took the life of a beautiful 9-year-old child and shot the mother. The mother did recover, but now she and her husband are without this beautiful daughter. And our community, really, in Central Florida here, we're grieving because this little girl especially was gorgeous. She was an athlete. I mean, she was a gymnast and top of her class. And I'm sorry, but it just seems like everybody has guns anymore, and I'm not sure why.
Well, Catherine, there are a lot of reasons for that, and I don't think we have the time nor the desire to get into it. But I do appreciate your call and your compassion for that tragedy in Orlando, which I did hear about last week. Thank you very, very much. Philip is up next in Memphis. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Paul. Please excuse my voice. I've had two surgeries since the last time we talked several months ago. I was able to watch the program nearly every day, but they took my phone away when I was in the hospital. First reason they gave was the phone would mess up the equipment that they were using on me, which I thought was bogus.
Yeah.
Their fallback excuse was I would get too excited or too exercised talking on the phone, and it would hinder my recovery. And I pointed out to them that they had put the SEC channel in my room at my request so I could watch the Feinbaum Show. This is the 15th time I've used your name to get the SEC channel in my hospital room.
More people should do that, Philip. It would help everyone have a speedier recovery.
If you want to send me a bill for your services, please go ahead, because it always works. It never fails. When I mentioned Paul Feinbaum, I could go into the First National Bank in New York and say, Paul Feinbaum sent me, and they'd say, how much do you want? You know, it's amazing what your name does. But that issue aside, I wanted to question the guy that called just about 10 minutes ago. I don't remember his name, who was lamenting that Miller had not been suspended. Paul, from what I can read and the lawyers that I've talked to in Tuscaloosa, Miller never touched the gun. His fingerprints are not on the gun. The gun was in his car. There's no indication, there's no testimony, no proof that he in any way participated in this unfortunate, disgusting shooting. It looks to me like there are just a lot of folks that hate Alabama and want to take any excuse they can to kick Alabama when it looks like they don't have a reason to. And I trust your judgment. I'd like to know what you think of my opinion that he's done nothing for which he should be suspended.
Well, on that, Philip, I haven't seen much. The one thing that I think concerns me, though, and it's just the messaging that the school has bungled, and I think it even continues today with Nate Oates was trying to explain the pat down that everybody is talking about, and he described it as his players told him it was like when the TSA checks you before you get on a plane. Now, most people there are not going to buy that story. And at some point, I think it's time for Nate to quit trying to explain. He's a basketball coach. Just let it. He's already dealt with it. Move on. And instead, I think it's like the old cliche that when you're in quicksand, quit digging. You're only going to go deeper. But beyond that, I tend to agree with you. I mean, you could have suspended him early on until you learned more about it. But hold on 1 second, Philip. Let's see what let's listen and watch what Nate Oates had to say earlier today.
That situation's on me. We addressed as a team. As soon as I brought it up to them, they immediately understood how it could be interpreted, and we all felt awful about it. They explained to me that it's like when TSA checks you before you get on a plane, and now Brandon's cleared for takeoff. We, as the adults in the room, should have been more sensitive to how it could have been interpreted. And I dropped the ball. That's it. I dropped the ball on it. We've addressed it. I can assure you it won't happen again.
Yeah, I appreciate him taking the blame, even though it's really not his fault. I mean, ultimately, yeah, that lies with the administration, who's in charge of the game operations.
Paul, don't we have some PR people down there that could be helping him out?
Philip, I've yet to see, you know, I know the communication school is literally about a half a block away. You could go down there to a freshman class and get better PR advice than what that university has offered this basketball program over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's a fabulous basketball coach, but I'm sure that he hadn't been schooled on how to deal with a murderer. That is something we discussed in law school 50 years ago when I was in law school with Dean Harrison. We talked about, he advised us to get a public relations firm if we ever handled a divorce. I'm not a divorce, a murder. Although the two are sometimes simultaneous. But he was very prescient in his advice back then. But this is our best opportunity, and Miller is the best player we've ever had. And I'm just really upset that so many people are using this incident as an excuse to try to destroy this young man who I can put myself in that situation. If I had possession of something that belonged to somebody else and I was asked to drive my car back over so he could get it, I'd do the same thing. Unless I was told specifically, I'm going to take that gun and kill so-and-so. And that's not the case here, of course. So I just register my objection to people who won't say any reason why he should be suspended, but continue to call for it. And thank you for letting me have my say, and I apologize again for my voice.
Philip, first of all, it's great to hear from you. I hope to talk to you soon when you're not locked up in a hospital. Hey, thank you very much. We head to the break. What's the latest from Rocky Top? We'll talk to Blake Topmeyer about the NCAA and the University of Tennessee right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Really looking forward to chatting with Blake Topmeyer. There is some news out of the NCAA today with a number of officials from Tennessee agreeing to show causes. But the person in question here is Jeremy Pruitt, and we'll try to find out and dig a little bit deeper now with Blake Topmeyer from the USA Today Network. Blake, always good to have you on. It seems like you've been covering the story forever. And as we say hello to you on this Tuesday afternoon, what did we learn today and what is still left to be undone?
Yeah, I don't think anything we learned today was surprising. It was the conclusion of one leg of this inquiry as to what's going to happen to certain members of Jeremy Pruitt's former staff at Tennessee who were named or who were indicated in that show cause. I mean, you know, former assistants Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton were among those who were fired for cause by Tennessee back when it had its change of leadership in 2021, and then a couple off the field staffers as well. I think all along we've been heading toward a show cause for multiple members of Jeremy Pruitt's staff, and that's the leg of this that's sort of wrapped up today. Obviously, the lingering questions are really the bigger questions now. What happens with Jeremy Pruitt, and what happens with Tennessee? You know, I think some people may wonder, well, how is the NCAA coming out with this in bits and pieces? Why have they reached a resolution with members of Pruitt's staff, but not with Jeremy Pruitt? Well, you know, it seems it's in the language here from the NCAA, this was a resolution reached between the NCAA and these former members of Jeremy Pruitt's staff. You know, in other words, these former assistants, staff members agreed to the show cause penalty. I don't think there's any avoiding it. They agreed to it to reach a resolution here. Jeremy Pruitt, it's no mystery why he would be fighting a show cause here. I mean, he's maintained from the start that a lot of this was going on without his knowledge. Tennessee, he says otherwise. And if you look at that NCAA report, certainly there are allegations that would point to a show cause, but I don't think Jeremy Pruitt is going to agree to that, wants to agree to that. And so in the meantime, he continues to sort of be stuck in purgatory as he contests some of these allegations from the NCAA and from Tennessee.
Blake, I realize you were there at the beginning of this, and we're all still talking about it. And I ask you this to try to even remember. You mentioned reading the report. What exactly is Jeremy or was Jeremy Pruitt accused of, which caused the investigation and subsequently his dismissal from Tennessee?
Yeah, really, I mean, kind of sloppy, impermissible benefits, both to recruits and to current student athletes. From Pruitt on down to members of his staff. And again, we've addressed the members of the staff portion of that with today's news. What remains is to be seen is what happens with Jeremy Pruitt and his role here. How much, I think, can he cast doubt on his level of involvement in this? Can he show that this was sort of the act of underlings who maybe he was not sufficiently monitoring, but were not doing these sort of rule-breaking, impermissible benefits and recruiting activities with his knowledge or approval? Or was this more something he had a direct hand in? Now, allegations from the NCAA in Tennessee would point more toward Jeremy Pruitt and his wife having a hand in these activities. And it's really on Pruitt, I think, if he hopes to avoid some of the stiffest penalties here, to show that while this may have been going on by members of his staff, that most of it was going on without his knowledge. How easy it is to show that, I'm not sure. One thing Pruitt may have working, if there's anything Pruitt has working in his advantage, I think it's that, when Tennessee made this change of leadership, Philip Fulmer, the athletic director, was not fired. He was ushered into retirement, and Tennessee said that all of this was going on without Philip Fulmer's knowledge. Of course, longtime legendary coach at Tennessee who became the athletic director and was sort of omnipresent around Tennessee's program during his time as athletic director. So if there's one factor in Jeremy Pruitt's favor, if I was arguing this case on behalf of Pruitt, I would say, well, hey, if the athletic director, who spent many, many years running the football program, is very close to the football program as the AD, if he didn't know any of this was going on, isn't it plausible that the head coach didn't know some of this was going on? I think some of the evidence that the allegations, at least, that the NCAA has put forward in its notice that came out several months ago would say otherwise, would say that Jeremy Pruitt did, in fact, know that some of this was going on and had a hand in it. But I think that would be among Jeremy Pruitt's argument, is that his boss, Philip Fulmer, didn't know this was going on. Tennessee said as much. And on down the line, these staff members were doing some of these actions without Jeremy Pruitt's knowledge or approval. I would think that would be the argument from his camp.
And Blake, I have no idea. I'm just thinking as you're talking that, some of these coaches that have and administrators that have agreed to whatever they agreed to today, could they have thrown Jeremy Pruitt under the bus? None of that really interests me, other than the question, what is Tennessee going to pay for all that, other than lost time and momentum, which they now seem to have gotten back? But is there a dark cloud on the horizon, or do you think that the school institutionally is going to be able to skate?
Well, I think Tennessee hopes it can skate based on its what it would describe as kind of overwhelming cooperation and assistance, at every leg of the process. Now, the skeptics among us can say, well, of course you were cooperative here. You had a football coach you didn't want anyway. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean they weren't cooperative. That doesn't mean they didn't assist the NCAA in its investigation. And that doesn't mean that Tennessee didn't fire what it considered to be the bad actors. I think Tennessee certainly did that. I think the problem for Tennessee is, it got off in pretty good shape in most areas of this notice of allegations. However, the 18th violation, and I know that sounds crazy to say, 18, right? The 18th violation alleged by the NCAA here was more toward the institution. It was a failure to monitor the football program. And I think that is the area of allegations that Tennessee obviously contests. I mean, anything the NCAA wants to allege Jeremy Pruitt or his underlings to having carried out, Tennessee's fine with that. They want to push all the fault onto its former coach and his staff and say that all of this was being conducted in sort of a clandestine operation that escaped the eye of Tennessee's administrators and its compliance officials. But in that notice of allegations, there is the charge, the institutional charge of failure to monitor. And that's why I think, for Jeremy Pruitt, I think he wants to get to a resolution in this case. He wants to get to a favorable resolution, though. Staying in sort of college football purgatory doesn't work wonders for Jeremy Pruitt. He can't get a job, right, while this hangs over him. For Tennessee, I think it works a little bit the other way. Like, no news is good news, right? Yes, there's this allegation out there of failure to monitor, but if this thing just sort of drags along and never reaches the sanction stage, I mean, Tennessee's in the free and clear, right? They never self-imposed any penalties. So for them, no news is sort of acceptable news. I think for Jeremy Pruitt, the sooner he can reach a resolution in this case, the better, with the caveat that, he doesn't want to stomach a multiple-year show cause here. Jeremy Pruitt very much wishes to become a college football coach in some capacity, again, at some point in the future, and accepting a show cause would be a significant hurdle to that.
Blake Topmeyer from USA Today joining us. Let's flip topics for just a moment, Blake. You've done a lot of other reporting, and in your latest, which SEC football team can pull a Tennessee? There we go. We're talking about the Vols in 23. Start with the Vols. So take us through what you have come up with here.
Yeah, if you look at the past couple years, Paul, we've had teams with a coach who's starting to settle in and has a talented veteran quarterback, I think, exceed expectations and reach a New Year's Six Bowl, one of those access bowls just outside the college football playoff. You go back a couple years ago, and that was Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss with Matt Corral in reaching that Sugar Bowl against Baylor there, sort of exceeded expectations that year. Last year it was Tennessee with Hendon Hooker and second-year coach Josh Heupel. And now in the wonder of who can achieve that this year, I do think we have to start with Tennessee, because even though Hendon Hooker has now moved on and is preparing for the NFL draft, Tennessee has a quarterback who is the Orange Bowl MVP and Joe Milton, and is now going into his third year in this program, was formerly a starter both at Michigan and at Tennessee, lost a job both times. I think it's fair to question whether Joe Milton can find the consistency to go along with his big arm. I mean, he's got one of the strongest arms in college football. And yet, the last we saw of him last year was against the Clemson in the Orange Bowl and played very, very well. I think he's gotten more comfortable in Josh Heupel's system. And Heupel, obviously, going into his third year now, kind of has a pretty well-oiled machine on offense as long as Milton proves up to the task. And, of course, you know, right behind him is the five-star quarterback who's already enrolled in Nico Iamaliava. So I do think the conversation of you know, who's sort of maybe flying below the radar here, I think Tennessee is among the list. People think, well, Hendon Hooker's gone. How are they gonna manage? But I look at that schedule and think, you know, if lines were set today, other than Georgia and Alabama, whom would Tennessee be an underdog against? I think they'd be favored in every other game. And I also look at South Carolina. You know, we really started to see, I think, Shane Beamer and Spencer Rattler kind of find their stride toward the end of last season in wins against Clemson and Tennessee. My question for South Carolina, though, is can they find the consistency that has sort of eluded them throughout the first 2 years of Shane Beamer's tenure? They've had some sterling wins. They've also had some really bad head-scratching losses, and that narrative, to an extent, also defines Spencer Rattler's career. He's had some brilliant performances as a quarterback at Oklahoma and South Carolina. He's also had some kind of maddeningly inconsistent performances. But I do think when you think about a settled-in coach and a veteran, talented quarterback, I do think South Carolina has a bit of the makings of a sleeper team that, if they put it all together, can kind of try to ascend to New Year's Six-type aspirations this year in Shane Beamer's third season.
Always great stuff with Blake Topmeyer from USA Today. Many thanks, Blake. Thanks for updating us on the Pruitt situation with Tennessee. We head to the break. More of your phone calls. A long way to go here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to our program, and Lena is up next calling. Hello, Lena. Good afternoon.
That, Paul, is Lana, not Lena, but that's okay. And I'm glad to get to talk to you. I've always listened to your show. I'm 74 years old, and I've listened to the Tammy and all of them, and I think your show was much better back then. I hate to tell you that, but I do. Are you still there?
Oh, sure, Lana.
And first of all, I wanted to make a statement, and then I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I watch all of the sports at Alabama, and sometimes I think we do things that we shouldn't do at Alabama. I'll be the first one to say that. But right now, I think the nation needs to check themselves, because if we ever needed Jesus, we need him now. People are so quick to judge somebody now. We all have sin in our life. We've all done wrong. And this is one of the worst instances that I've seen in a long time happen, when you've got a lady that is the forgotten victim in all of this. Her son does not have his mama anymore, and it breaks my heart. But I do not think that Brandon Miller is guilty. I'm sorry. I think that Miles brought the gun and left it in the car, and then he took it back to him. Surely he probably shouldn't have done it. We know that. But the boy in the car, her boyfriend, had a gun also, and nobody's even talked about that. Why is it that it was okay for him to have a gun on him and it wasn't on Brandon Miller? Because it's legal in Alabama. I just don't understand that.
Well, you're correct. Her boyfriend did have a gun, and there was a gun battle, but I don't think that's really the issue here. The issue is really about Brandon Miller, because he's a basketball player. The rest of it, as tragic as it was unrelated to the University of Alabama.
Well, the thing about it is, though, I still just think the boy's getting a bad rap. I'm sorry. That's my opinion, and you have one. And that's why I don't hate you, because you have that opinion. But I will have to agree with some other Alabama fans. You seriously have a dislike for the university. I don't know what it is, but you really do, Paul. And it shows, because when you were interviewing that guy earlier, you got mad when he said something about Kirby Smart, and then he said, well, what about Nick Saban? And you was firing mad. I just don't understand that, but that's okay, because y'all can wish all these people are gone and the dynasty's over and all that, but, we have the two best coaches that's ever walked the earth, and I don't think there's enough time left on this earth for y'all to break that record. So, anyway, that's okay. It'll all iron out, because the man above will take care of all of it. And I'm praying for Brandon. I'm praying for Jamia and her, praying for her family, and praying for that precious little boy. I'm praying for her boyfriend. I'm praying for you, Paul. That's what we need to do. We need to pray. And like I said, I'm 74 years old, and, I've seen a lot of bad stuff happen. But that's all I got to say.
Lana, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing it.
Okay, bye-bye.
You take care of yourself. Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
Who, may I ask, was that? I'm just curious. I just got on my air.
Her name was Lana. She was from somewhere in Alabama. I'm not sure where, but she...
Okay, thank you. I just wasn't curious. All right, Paul, I got something. I got something today, buddy. I've got something. I'm telling you, I wish you could set it up. I'm telling you. All right, I went to the third doctor that I've been seeing. This is the expert of all about what I'm going through, what I've been having trouble with. Let me tell you something, Paul. I mean this. I'm not making it up. If you could get a camera crew and do the show from the office of where I was, like one of these doctor's offices, I'm telling you, it would be blasted all over America. They had nurses out in the hall laughing. The doctor was, and he's a world-class doctor. He was laughing about the Feinbaum stuff that I told him about. Let me tell you what he said. This is hilarious. You ready for this?
Yeah, sure.
I said, okay, Feinbaum, he told me, I said, okay, I know you are. You on fire. I said, yeah. I said, well, he wrote a book, and he said in the book I was on page 54. He said, yeah, page 54. I said, yeah. He wrote on the page 54. I said, here's what he wrote. I said, he wrote, if I was doing the show and I had Barack Obama on the phone, if Jim called, I'm trashing Obama, and I'm getting Jim on the air. He laughed. He said, that ain't no big compliment.
That's pretty funny.
What's the big deal about replacing Barack Obama? People were laughing. They were piled out in the hall listening. Nurses were inside. Probably 20 people hanging around listening to what we were saying. It would be hilarious if you'd have a camera crew on that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened. I mean, I think there are a few.
It could happen, Paul. I'm telling you, I could make it happen.
That might disallow us from going into a doctor's office and identifying patients.
Well, there's one thing. All the signs on the wall said this: no cell, cut off all your cell phones. No cell phones allowed in the office. But you could do it out in the hall and still have a camera crew looking out in the hall.
Jim,
with the door open, you know.
I'm going to lean on you because you know how desperate we all are here. Our careers are fading. Maybe you can help us.
Look, Paul, I am promising you, if you had a audience, verbal and audio audience and camera crew,
I've been working on a hit TV show for years now, and this might be the best idea I've heard.
I'm telling you, Paul, I am telling you, that was hilarious. I mean, that doctor was funny.
Hopefully all these doctors are helping you.
They are helping me. They're great. But it's taking time. It's going to take some time. But anyway, he said, I don't know if he meant for me to tell you. He said he knew you or something. And he said his nickname is Blade. Do you know anybody? Do you know a doctor named Blade? Nickname Blade.
No, I don't. I mean, I might know his real name. I don't know his nickname, though.
Well, I'm not.
That's fine.
Tell
the Blade Runner to contact me off the air. And...
he said he wanted to call in. He said, I'm going to call in.
Okay.
When I told him all the story, he really wanted to know about Pruitt, which you talked about. And I told him what I knew, which is inside stuff. And he seemed to be happy with that.
Okay.
But I can't tell you on the air because I don't know if I've been told you, but you probably know about it, but I know what's going on. I got the inside dope on that deal.
Okay. Well,
what they're trying to do.
Okay. Listen, most important, I'm glad you're doing better.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate
it. Okay. You got it. We'll take a short break here. And we'll be back. And we're coming to a doctor's office near you with our cameras.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we, of course, continue to remember and honor Black History Month here in the month of February. Let's continue. And I-Man is up next.
Live from the capital city, Paul Feinbaum, how are you?
Okay.
Let's just recap some of the thoughts going on this week.
Let's try.
I heard somebody say yesterday, there's just too many guns in this country. Why isn't the gun manufacturer held responsible? Then we heard a lady, Lana, say, you know, well, the other guy had, the boyfriend had a gun. Nobody's saying anything about that. You know, it's those two comments alone. Let's just kind of revisit them. the boyfriend had a gun, because in the state of Alabama, it's pretty common. You can carry a gun concealed now without permits. Everybody can have a gun, basically. And if you want a permit and all that, you can go get one. But they didn't arrest the boyfriend because there must have been some kind of evidence that he was protecting himself. Wouldn't you agree? There's
yes,
a whole lot
yes,
of shooting
I would
going
agree.
On.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You had four people involved, obviously. One's dead. The other one walked away without incident in terms of being arrested, and the other two are currently in jail facing capital murder. I wonder how the police came to that conclusion.
Okay, and in the civil world today, gun manufacturers who did not make weapons, all they did was make guns. They sold them to distributors, and the distributors sold them, and then the guns ended up in people's hands some kind of way. Now, and this lady was talking about gun manufacturers being responsible. Well, if the gun manufacturer was responsible for making the gun, wouldn't Brandon Miller be more responsible, as culpable, or whatever the term would be, for simply bringing the gun, transporting the gun? You know, I don't know who's guilty and who's not. I know it's going to all wash out, and it's just a bad look. I do know this. There's reporters in the state of Alabama that are just outraged because of reporting around the country. And you know what? That's just reporting around the country. Some are getting it right. Some are not getting it close at all. I mean, that's just the reporters doing the reporter thing for their readers and their viewers or whatever. Kind of like what you're doing here. Paul, let me ask you a real important question. Did you ever think, are you ready for this? Say yes, Paul.
Yes.
Are you ready for this? Did you ever think one day that you should have gone back to school and got your forensic expert certificate to run this program?
I am currently working on it online during these phone calls, and I think I just graduated. William is up next from Maryville, Tennessee.
Well, you know, getting to follow Jim and I-Man's pretty big deal, Paul. Two points, one about Tennessee and one about Alabama. In regard to Alabama, Philip from Memphis, I don't know if he's tone deaf or brain dead. You know, he's complaining about folks being mean to Brandon Miller. You know, that trivializes what happened that night. You know, interesting question. When all of this went down and Brandon Miller's car was shot up, did he call 911? Did he render aid to this young lady that was shot? You know, did he drive away and call 911? I don't think he did. And I don't think he's an innocent bystander. I'm not sure that he's criminally guilty of anything, but I just don't think that he was a choir boy at this scene. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But, you know, the Alabama fans, even Lana, talking about, well, you know, everybody has a gun and the guy in the car shouldn't have had a gun. Well, you know, I'm having a hard time figuring out how Miles is being charged for handing the shooter the gun when Miller's not, because they were in close proximity. I guess they were in the backseat of his car. But be that as it may, you know, ironically, Paul, there'll probably never be a trial. They'll plead out on this, and we may never know the truth. But turning to Tennessee, let me ask you a question, a little different spin on this. You know, Pruitt has threatened the university with a lawsuit for his buyout. I don't think that lawsuit's ever been filed.
No.
Do you think that Pruitt has or thinks he has something on Fulmer, where instead of saying my boss didn't know anything, therefore I couldn't have known anything? Do you think that his ultimate plan is to throw Fulmer under the bus?
Possible, William. I mean, either Jeremy Pruitt is just plain stupid, or he has had some reason to compel him to act in the manner that he has. And you live there. You've watched it closer than most of us. And, you know, his lawyer did a lot of yakking without backing it up. Pruitt's done a lot of, you know, he's a lot of bluster out of him privately. And there has to be a reason, because if you've already gotten four people to agree to a show cause, there's a good chance these four have also turned against Jeremy Pruitt.
I'm assuming that he's
right. not stupid, and he has something against someone, and who's the biggest fish there?
Fulmer. And of course, I will say, and I was not a fan, not that it makes any difference, I was not a fan of the fact that they let Fulmer retire and walk out with $1 million severance. You know, when he first came in as AD, he came in as the savior, and next thing you know, he's making a big salary, and next thing you know, he retires with a big severance. So I don't.
William,
know
let me jump in. I never got the impression those two were that close either, even though Fulmer hired him, and I have some reason to believe that. I'll discuss in a minute.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.